Good morning, church. It's such a joy for me to share with you today from God's Word, and thank you so much for taking time to listen to this message from the comfort of your home. We miss you, and hopefully we'll soon be allowed to gather together in person for worship. Public health officials have reported that case numbers are going down. By the way, happy Pentecostal Sunday, on which we celebrate the coming of the Holy Spirit 40 days after Easter, and indeed the birth of the church. Last week, I read a funny email story of a Minneapolis couple who decided to go to Florida to thaw out during a particular icy winter. They planned to stay at the same hotel where they spent their honeymoon 20 years earlier. Because of their hectic schedules, it was difficult for the couple to coordinate their travel plans. So the husband left Minnesota and flew to Florida on Thursday, while his wife planned to fly down the following day. The husband checked into the hotel, and lo and behold, there was a computer in his room. So he decided to send an email to his wife. However, he accidentally left out one letter of her email address and sent the email without realizing his omission. Meanwhile, somewhere in Houston, Texas, a widow had just returned home from her husband's funeral. He was a Baptist minister who was called home to glory to be with the Lord following a heart attack. The widow decided to check her email, expecting condolence messages from family and friends. But after reading her very first email, she screamed and fainted. The widow's son rushed into the room, found his mother on the floor, and saw the computer screen with an email that read, "To my loving wife. Subject, I have just arrived today. I know you are surprised to hear from me. They have computers here now, and you are allowed to send emails to your loved ones. Since I've just arrived, I thought I'd send you an email. Everything has been prepared for your arrival tomorrow. Looking forward to seeing you then. Hope your journey is as uneventful as mine was. P.S. is sure freaking hot down here." This morning, on Pentecostal Sunday, we continue with our series called The Seven Abominable Things That God Hates. While we may all know by now that we worship a loving, caring, and compassionate God who is rich in mercy and grace, He is also a God of wrath, justice, and retribution or vengeance, one who hates and abhors sin. It is unfortunate that some Bible teachers often fail to remind people that while our God is essentially a God of love, He also hates sin and will punish sinners if they don't accept His free gift of salvation through faith in Jesus Christ. So far in our study, we have learned about three things that God hates: haughty eyes, which means a proud look, a lying tongue, and hands that shed innocent blood. But today we look at the fourth thing that God hates: a heart that devises wicked plans. A heart that devises wicked plans. In other words, a heart that deliberately plans or schemes to do evil. A heart that deliberately plans or schemes to do evil. Our text in this series is Proverbs chapter 6, verses 16 to 19, which declares that God hates haughty eyes, a lying tongue, hands that shed innocent blood, a heart that devises wicked plans, feet that are swift in running to evil, a false witness who speaks lies, and one who sows discord, dissensions, divisions, or conflict among brothers and sisters. So today we will focus on verse 18, which says in a New Living Translation, God hates a heart that plots evil. In the Amplified, God hates a heart that manufactures wicked thoughts and plans. And in the Message Bible, God hates a heart that hatches evil plots. So, when the Bible speaks of the heart, it does not refer to the vital organ that pumps blood throughout the body. It is referring to the spiritual part of us where our mind, will, and emotions dwell or sit. The place which develops the intentions and motivations of our actions. Simply said, the heart denotes the inner man, which refers to the thoughts, the inclinations, and affections, or the human soul with its faculties and operations, which is the seat of one's physical, spiritual, and mental life. One commentator says, the word heart is used in Scripture to designate the whole internal person, including the motives, affections, feelings, desires, and thoughts. In Scripture, we are told to watch over our heart with all due diligence, for from it flows the springs of life. You find that in Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23. Now, Jesus also identified the heart as a source of good and evil. He told his disciples, out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, and slander. And then he says, that is what defile a man. And that is found in Matthew chapter 15, verse 19 to 20. So unless the Lord rules your heart, sin rules and controls your life. And the outcome, the ramification is evil behavior, judgment, punishment, and death. Luke chapter 6, verse 45 says in the Amplified, the intrinsically good man produces what is good and honorable and moral out of the good treasure stored in his heart. And the intrinsically evil man produces what is wicked and depraved out of the evil in his heart. For his mouth speaks from the overflow of his heart. You see, the condition of our human heart cannot be seen with our eyes, but we can know the condition of one's heart by the fruit it produces. God, however, is able to see and judge a person's thoughts and intentions of the heart, even before they commit the sin. He says in Jeremiah chapter 17, verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart and examine the mind to reward each person according to their conduct and according to what their deeds deserve. In fact, when God examines us, He does not look at our outward appearance. He does not look at our outward man, our strength, or lack of it. He looks at the hearts and searches the minds. He examines us from the inside out, overlooking all our good looks and giftedness, and focusing on the pulse and condition of our hearts. In other words, He looks past the facade and focuses on our true nature, the content of our character, and the motives and intents of our hearts. 1 Samuel chapter 16, verse 7 tells us, the Lord does not see as man sees, for a man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. Only God, saints, can see the true condition of our hearts. So, let me ask you a personal question. How is your heart in the presence of God? We may act like all is well, but God knows the true condition of our hearts. And right now, we need to examine our hearts. What is the true condition of your heart before God? Proverbs chapter 4, verse 23 commands us to keep our hearts with all diligence, for out of it spring the issues of life. We are called to watch over our hearts to prevent them from wandering and sinning against God. And therefore, we need to be constantly attentive, keeping watch over our intentions and motives. We must protect our hearts from falling into the sin that Satan tempts us to fall into each and every day. We must put our intentions, motivations, judge our hearts, and put our intentions on a just balance. And if we are found wanting, we know what to do. Call upon the name of the Lord, for whosoever shall do so shall be saved, Scripture says. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 12 says, be careful then, see to it, dear brothers and sisters. Make sure that your own hearts are not evil and unbelieving, turning you away from the living God. While that is true, and yes, we must be able to keep our hearts in check against evil intentions, we sometimes wander away from the Lord, even with our good intentions to please the Lord. But when we realize that we are being led astray from the Lord by the deceitfulness and wickedness of our hearts, we must immediately turn to God, seek His help and forgiveness. And God will not let you down. He will set you free by the power of the Holy Spirit that works in us. So, in other words, in order to keep our hearts in check, we need to keep God's word within our hearts. When we give attention to God's word and intentionally think of how to live out God's word, our hearts will not have the time to entertain and plot wicked plans, evil plans. In Psalm 119, verse 10 to 12, David says, "With all my heart I have sought you. Do not let me stray from your commandments. I have hidden your word in my heart, that I might not sin against you. Blessed are you, O Lord. Teach me your statutes." Teach me your statutes. David hid the word of God in his heart and obeyed it so that he may not sin against God. We also ought to emulate David in how we live out our lives by reading and studying the Word of God, internalizing the Word of God, memorizing the Word of God, and allowing the Holy Spirit to brood on that word, to inspire us in our works, and to live out our lives for nobody but God. Which brings us to our one and only point. God hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations, because it is the root and source of all evil. God hates a heart that devises wicked imaginations, because it is the root and source of all evil and sin. The word devises means to plan an idea and then develop, tweak, and perfect it before carrying it out. Scripture defines wickedness as all forms of evil that is against God and His word. Therefore, the phrase, "a heart that devises wicked schemes," refers to a heart that is making premeditated evil decisions, or one that is devising, planning, plotting, and scheming to do evil. Someone once said, "The heart of each human being in its unregenerated state is a laboratory and workshop of Satan and of evil. packed with foul imaginations and often hatching out thoughts of evil intent. And Christians who have not consistently cast down the imaginations of the carnal mind must keep alert and must clean house. I can't say it any clearer than that. We need to clean house and keep our hearts from evil. Our text says, God hates a heart that creates wicked plans to offend and exploit others. He hates those who scheme to take advantage of loopholes in weak constitutional systems for selfish and dishonest gains, as well as those who actively abuse others, children, women, the weak, the poor, the voiceless, and the underprivileged. Let us, therefore, always examine ourselves to see whether our heart is pleasing to the Lord in the way it acts towards others. If you have a heart that organizes or invents evil plans intended to do wrong to someone or harm somebody, your heart is being an abomination to the Lord. God hates it, and you must repent and turn away from your wicked ways. Otherwise, you will meet the wrath of God. The Bible says the wrath of God is upon the children of disobedience. Do not be deceived. A man will reap what he sows. Throughout Scripture, as we begin our descent here, God reminds us that He alone searches the hearts of men and has found them to be desperately wicked. Jeremiah chapter 17 verse 9 says, "The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure." In other words, it's desperately wicked. Who can understand it? In Genesis chapter 6, verse 5 to 6, the Bible says, "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great upon the earth, and that every inclination of the thoughts of his heart was altogether evil all the time. And the Lord regretted that he had made man on the earth, and he was grieved." But the question that might be on your mind right now is, with how God hates sin, a heart that plots evil, is there any remedy to this depravity and wretchedness of our hearts? You bet. There is. The cure for our evil, deceitful, and wicked hearts is a complete overhaul and transformation to a new heart. This new heart can only come from God by our surrender to God's plan of redemption through faith in Jesus Christ. Ezekiel chapter 36, verses 26 to 27 says, "God will give us a new heart and put a new spirit within us. He will take the heart of stone out of our flesh and give us a heart of flesh. He will put his spirit within us and cause us to walk in his decrees. And we will keep his judgments and we will do them. That is when we ask God to help us. When we put our faith and our trust in Jesus, God will give us a new heart. Our only hope, saints, is the miracle of a regenerated heart that acts according to the direction of the Holy Spirit, helping us to walk in God and obey his commands. A new heart filled with the Holy Spirit will help us to walk in the light and not in darkness. It will help us to walk in the fear of the Lord and in obedience to his word. You see, Scripture tells us that when we are in Christ, we are new creatures, and that all things are new. You find that in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verse 17. Scripture tells us that we were dead in sin, but now we have been raised up to eternal life by God in Christ Jesus. You find that in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 5 and 6. And that the dominion of sin has been broken in our lives, according to Romans chapter 6, 1 to 14. The word of God is clearly informing us that we are no longer wicked or slaves to sin, but are slaves to righteousness, not only in status, but also in disposition of heart, by which we now hate sin and hunger and thirst for righteousness. Let's pray together. God, our eternal Father, we thank you for your word. Our prayer this morning is that you may indeed cast light upon our hearts. Examine our hearts, Lord. Check our motives. Judge the intents of our hearts and bring them accountable before your authority. We pray that, Lord, if you find any wicked way in us, that you may cleanse us, purify us in the blood of Jesus, and set us free from the power of sin. Wash our hearts in the blood of Jesus. Circumcise our hearts, Lord. Help us to be able to yearn and pant for the things of God and not things of this world. We refuse to follow the things of this world. We yearn for things above and beyond, things that are of God, that will build us up into the image of your dear Son. We pray that, Lord, even as we strive to live for you in this dark world, you will help our hearts to be protected from the influence of this world, that we will be influenced only by the Holy Spirit, that we may be light in darkness, changed and transformed by the power and grace of God. We thank you, Jesus, for this word, and may this word not return to the void. We give you honor and we give you praise, because we ask it in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen. Thank you for listening, and God bless you.